everyone. This is the Know Your Place podcast, and this is episode 75. In this week's episode, it'll be an American perspective on the European Super League. Stay tuned. Right, everyone, and we're back. Your fearless leader, Charles Altendorf, here. On this week's episode, we have quite the debacle that has shaped up in Europe. Unfortunately, I don't think a lot of Americans, my American audience, I don't know how many of you were paying attention. I know it did make the front page news of ESPN, but I don't really know how many people paid that much attention to this debacle I'm about to go over, because, you know, rightfully so, we were very inward focused on the Chauvin trial, so we kind of missed a whole lot of what happened. But basically, I'm going to kind of go over a timeline and give commentary. I would suggest anyone who wants to get the full story of what happened, rather than just click on the first article you see when you type up the European Super League, I would recommend going to the BBC Sports article that says, and I'm quoting here, this is the headline that you want to Google: European Super League timeline, colon, game changer, dash, football's volatile 72 hours. And this is one where they actually made a timeline that kind of follows it all in order. And the reason why I'm suggesting this is if you just Google a random article on this, you're probably going to get an incomplete story, and you'll be like halfway through what happened, or you won't know what happened, or you won't have something up to date right. So that's the one I'm going to go through, and I'm not going to read it verbatim or anything like that, but I have it in front of me so I don't get confused with what I'm talking about. But before I even hit the timeline of what happened, I'm going to begin by saying, in America, we've always had this this fantasy amongst our sports fans, or this big question of what would happen if the Power Five conferences in college athletics broke away and made their own league. And believe it or not, it's come up several times. It always comes up when somebody's a little peeved at the NCAA about something. And, you know, it is without a doubt for sure that the Power Five conferences have, over the years, you know, they make by far the most revenue out of the rest of the NCAA. Although there is one interesting sort of sidebar problem with that is, you know, it's been kind of a tough question about who is the next conference that hits that fifth, I think, because in sort of historically, I think it was viewed as the Power Five were, you know, the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the Pac-10. But there's been a lot of question on whether or not the Pac-12 and the Pac-12, I don't know if is it called the Pac-14 now because they got 14 teams? I don't know. There's always been a historic question about whether or not the Pac-12 and the Big 12 were you know, full enough of slates to play with the other three, although I think they more than earned their keep in the last round of NCAA champions in football and basketball this year. They both overperformed and kind of brought themselves back into the fold. For a while, a lot of people were debating whether or not the Big East, when it had football, was up there with a Power Six. And now that it's sort of split off and some of those teams have gone their own ways, we're down to back again to what people call Power Five. Well, anyway, this topic has been around in American sports for a long time, but it never seems to happen. Well, believe it or not, Europe beat us to the punch on something here. So how I first heard about this is I saw a little headline on top of ESPN, and I think I heard from my friend in England. I would say this probably broke in England. I don't know if it broke in Spain or Italy first. I really don't know. But basically I heard, hey, there's some British teams from the from the English league that want to split off and join a super league that will be not part of UEFA and not part of FIFA. And I didn't really have any objection outright to such a thing. I don't really know if I call myself a proponent of this concept of, a top tier splitting off from any of our sports leagues. I don't think there's been as much push for that to happen in the American professional leagues because we have very big minor league leagues too. So we kind of do feel like the teams that have made it up into the professional rungs are the best teams. And they all have a shot at winning for the most part. But I will say, it's been kind of a question mark with, I don't know. I mean, I just, like, for example, the NFL and the NBA, there were other conferences or leagues that they both had two big leagues that were rivaling them at different points in the 70s, and both decided they wanted to join them. So why I say this, it'd be awfully weird for a team like the Oakland Raiders or the Kansas City Chiefs, who were two of the teams that pushed for the AFL and the NFL to merge, to want to then turn around and join a movement to split back off from the NFL, right? Or it'd be really bizarre for the San Antonio Spurs, who joined the NBA from the ABA and brought some teams with them, to want to turn around and depart from the NBA. So that would just be weird. Now, I think part of the reason why this had more traction than some of those types of questions is because these leagues, even though there's teams from all over Europe in the UEFA Champions League, they're still in their separate countries. So it still feels a lot more separate than, I mean, Kansas City is totally different than New England, but it's not like they're different countries. There is, I don't know. I think there is still a little bit of a cultural difference to some of these teams. It was really on glaring display, I think. And for me, the glaring display is sort of different styles in soccer you see between the Spanish, Italian teams, and then like the German teams, and then the English seems to be somewhere in between those extremes, if you will. But regardless, you can tell there's a little bit of a cultural difference still. So it would almost make sense if if England just like broke back away from UEFA, but that's not what happened here. So I'm gonna go ahead and start the timeline here now with this discussion. And I guess part of the reason why I see this as interesting is usually the big chaos in sports. I mean, there is big chaos in sport that has happened in Europe, but usually, we're known for really weird crap happening here in American sport, right? Like we got, that Sterling debacle with what happened in Los Angeles, or, I'm trying to think of other things, like I guess fan, well, wild fans. European soccer is definitely known for wild fans. So, but generally, like management, weird situations. I do think it happens in Europe, and obviously it did happen. But I think there has been more of a perception, perhaps, and maybe this is just my American bias, but there's been more of a perception that, like, oh, weird management things happening in sport is that's an American thing. And no, that is not exclusive to America. It can happen anywhere. So what happened is I guess a paper called The Times reported that 12 clubs on Sunday were going to join the Super League. And that's sort of, I saw it come out, I think, a couple hours after that, perhaps. And I'll go ahead and say the clubs. Although, to be honest, I think almost all of them backed out by now, but I don't know. It was going to be Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United, Tottenham, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Real Madrid, AC Milan, Inter Milan, and Juventus. Now, the weird part about it was for me, I couldn't confirm or deny who the teams were. Because I first heard about, my friend was telling me that Tottenham was going to join, but I think the first one I heard about was Manchester United, and then I heard about Eventes. I did not know exactly who was joining, because that was my first question was, who do you consider these top 12 teams to join a Super League? And I think that's where a lot of people got sort of pissed off, right? Is, oh, look at these clubs. They consider themselves the top flight teams, and everybody else is just a joke to these guys, isn't it? Well, isn't that a bit hoity-toity, you know? And I mean, I get the point to an extent. Yeah, I mean, that is kind of true, but like, come on, bro. Like, you know, these teams have by far won the most. Well, there's a couple that we'll talk about in a minute that didn't decide to join. But yeah, I could see why some of these teams do consider themselves the top flight versus everybody else. But I get it. You know, it is kind of a slap in the face to everybody else. And so yeah, and then I guess immediately after that, the Premier League, you know, the English Premier League were like, that is, you know, they're saying, you know, that's a pure they were like, you know, that's a bad move, and they would stop this project. And then right after that, you know, there was a former Manchester United and England defender, you know, said it's a pure greed move, you know. And then we're it's still Sunday, and it's 23 hours British Standard Time, and the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge came out against it. And so, you know, there was a big question, you know. I think at this point, I still didn't necessarily know whether the way they had worded it in the articles I had seen, I didn't think it was any type of near done deal, right? I thought it was perhaps just a rumor or speculation, which, you know, this kind of crap happens in America all the time. I remember for years there's always rumors about like the New York Jets moving, or there's rumors about all these teams moving. There's been rumors about the Jacksonville Jaguars moving for years, and that's never happened. And then we did have that time when San Diego said, no, we're out of here, and moved back to Los Angeles, and they got punished really hard by the fans for that one. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But, you know, so I kind of still thought it was a rumor. I didn't really think there was a lot to it. But then the next day, the Super League contacted FIFA and UEFA and said, no, we are intending on leaving. And that's when I think it sort of emerged that both Manchester United and Manchester City were very serious, as well as Real. And I was like, holy mackerel, this has really reached a crazy point. Like, this might happen. And then, of course, you know, UEFA was like, you know, this is was all PO'd and whatever. And you know, I didn't really know what to think of it. You know, again, I'm not, you know, I, for me, I like watching some Champions League soccer, but, you know, I'm not really a, you know, huge, I don't really know the historical connection there. Like, for me, if you can make it on your own with your own fans and you want to be your own league, you know, I didn't really see what the problem was going to be there. But by this point, I think we'd already released it in the Geography Facebook group I'm in, and people were irate. I mean, I haven't seen something stir people up that much in a long time, you know, and that may be also because of the lockdowns and stuff, but people were so mad, you know. And then I think what really was a sort of starting to begin a tipping point was that there was during the there was a match between Liverpool and Leeds, and Leeds they trolled them really bad. They wore a bunch of shirts saying "Earn It," and they were definitely trolling Liverpool pretty hard. And I think that was I feel really bad for Klopp, because I'm not sure he. You know, it's really hard to piece together. I don't know how much he was sort of informed that this decision was happening, but you know, I think what really happened is, if I had to guess, you know, is that there was probably these plans weren't definitely in the works, but I don't think they had any intention of releasing them now. I think they, if at any point, they were probably going to release them after the Champions League had concluded for the year. But it got leaked, so it forced these owners to make a gut decision at the time. So I really do believe that people like Klopp and some of the other managers were not informed. You know, they were probably, you know, they didn't think this was going to happen at the time. They may have heard rumors, but they were probably like me saying, oh, you know, maybe this is just rumor. This isn't going to actually happen. So then when this was starting to happen, they were like, oh, crap. Now we gotta make a comment. What am I gonna do? So, you know, I don't think anybody can really hold any of the managers at fault for going either way on this topic because they were kind of put in a really tough spot. You know, I don't really think that they knew a lot about what was happening. So, I want to say that don't really go in hard at the managers, guys. Let's be easy on them. They really didn't know what was happening. And then, so after that, you know, it came out that the ESL was making Real's president their chairman, and he went out on Spanish TV claiming that they were doing it to save football because young people were no longer interested. And I gotta tell you, man, you know, what are these people gonna learn? You gotta try and avoid making statements like that. I mean, what are you even doing? You know, you look so silly coming out there and making a statement like that. You know, just roll it back, let it play out some. You know, there I know he felt like he had to comment. He could have just said, I don't know, you know, he could have just said we're doing it, you know, and left it at that. It's a done deal. But coming out there and trying to give some kind of like half-assed remark about what you're doing it for. I mean, that's just you knew that that was going to make him look like it. You just knew it was going to live in infamy after that. So then this is still Tuesday. They came out and FIFA, of course, condemned them for it and said, you know, that was not a good idea. And then at noon GMT on Tuesday, Boris Johnson came out and said he had unwavering support for the attempts to break away, which I don't know if that looked very good. And then I think the another thing that sort of did everybody in was right after the end of Bayern and Paris Saint-Germain having one of the more memorable slogs of a knockout phase series, they both sort of came out and said, yeah, we're not leaving. And especially Bayern made a really strong statement saying, we are in, where is it here? They were like, yeah, we're not doing this. We don't like it and we don't want it to happen. This is our collective position. Our commitment to this football club and its supporters is absolute and unconditional. And, you know, I don't really know what to say. It's interesting that Bayern didn't want to do it from the jump. Because I do think they could have financially benefited off of it, but I guess they really believe in the tradition of the Champions League, so they didn't want to leave. And then we're getting to 1900 British Standard Time, and Chelsea, where is it here? Okay, here we go. There was a lot of people saying they were feeling the heat. You know, Manchester's executive chairman at 20 BST on Tuesday was like that he was going to have to resign, and of course Tottenham fired their coach over it. And I don't remember when that occurred in this timeline, but that looked really dumb now in hindsight, you know. And then all by 45 minutes after that Tuesday evening, all six of the Premier League teams decided that they were going to stay in and that they were no longer they were going to abandon the Super League idea. So as you can see, this all took place in a 72-hour span, like the BBC reported. And you know, it's very interesting to me that the ownership of these clubs really decided to bend to the pressure of the fans. And, you know, I don't really know what the right or wrong answer is there. Like I said, it's kind of hard for me as an American to be like, oh yeah, this was good for the fans because I love the Champions League, and there's always going to be a chance of somebody new cropping up in the Champions League to take down some of these big dogs and rah! You know, but I don't, I mean, I can't say I believe that because I don't really believe that. And that would be just ridiculous and silly for me to say. But by the same token, I mean, yes, it was absolutely a pretty arrogant power play to be like, we're the 12th best. Everybody else gets a finger and we're going to go off and do our own thing. So I will say, you know, in the Americans, the closest thing I can really think of to a couple of franchises doing things that sort of were like a big middle finger to the fans was San Diego moving to Los Angeles and the Cleveland Browns moving to Baltimore. The Baltimore Colts moving to Indianapolis. Those were two things that sort of... Oh, yeah, and the Cleveland Browns moving to Baltimore, too, was another, you know, those things sort of happened. The Cleveland Browns-Baltimore thing, it was a middle-of-the-night thing. Like, they nobody even knew it was happening. They were just like, oh, yeah, we're off to Baltimore. We got, after, like, I think it's in the paper that we're staying in Cleveland. And it was just kind of, like, mind-blowing. But the San Diego one, oh, my gosh, what a crap show. The Chargers were like, build us a new stadium. And San Diego's like, no, we're not building you a new stadium. And they were like, well, fine, we're going to find a place in Los Angeles. But the problem was, is there was no place in Los Angeles ready for them to go. It hadn't had football in a long time. And the Rams had already negotiated a better deal. And so the Los Angeles Chargers ended up playing in a soccer stadium for a couple seasons, and even they couldn't even sell that out. They had a third of the capacity and couldn't sell it out because the fans, I mean, they just boycotted because they were like, you're moving up the road to LA, you don't even have any plan, and you're just, you know, you're just screwing the fans because you're mad that San Diego didn't build you a new stadium. You know, it was a complete cluster. And, you know, I don't know if they'll financially recover from it. I mean, I guess, you know, now that they're partnering with the Rams are keeping them afloat. But you got to wonder, like, how long is the NFL going to tolerate this? Like, how long are the Rams going to tolerate this? Is somebody else going to swoop in and buy them and move them back out of Los Angeles? I wouldn't be shocked. You know, I mean, I don't know if they'll go back to San Diego or not. But, I mean, it just looks weird. You see them on the field there and you're just kind of like, eh, what are you doing there? And, of course, I think they only won four games last year, but they've only gone to the playoffs like once since this happened. And even then there was just like, nobody cared. They were like, you know, I'll admit it was a really dirty double cross. And I think the owners are going to pay for that for a long time. But then you look at the other situations like the Baltimore Colts moving to Indianapolis and the Browns moving to Baltimore. And these owners suffered virtually no consequences because those teams went on in those other places to win titles, and the new fans embraced him, and the money moved on. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if the problem I have here, you know, from a standpoint of PR of the owners caving to the fans, and don't get me wrong again, don't give me a bunch of hate mail as the fans. You know, I mean, I'm glad you know, if your big thing was we want to preserve the Champions League, then you've won here. You've absolutely won here. So hats off to you. But I do, in the back of my mind, I do sort of question, well, are the fans ever going to trust you again? Then if you're the owners, like, you know, how are they going to trust you now? You know, because you cave to them, but like, they're not going to like, I seriously doubt these hardcore people that were mad at you over this are going to be like, oh, well, you know, it's all good. We're sorry. Maybe they are. Maybe some people in the comments section be like, oh yeah, we forgive the owners for this, but I can't imagine. How could you? They totally double crossed you. You know, I mean, if your whole goal was we love the Champions League and they just came out and did this in the middle of the night and they attempt to go through, they just look completely incompetent as owners. They look like they're totally wishy-washy on the whole thing and they didn't really have a plan and they weren't ready to suffer the PR backlash. And they didn't even look prepared for the PR backlash. So, that being said, what I really think about it is, if you're somebody who wanted to see the Champions League preserved, you've won. But I don't think that changes the sort of calculus of there seems to be a couple tiers to Champions League soccer, and a few of these teams are kind of getting sick of the other guys, and I don't know how that's easily resolved. I don't know how you mend the fences now. I guess if you're the you just got everybody's just got to forgive and forget and move on, but I can imagine, there's probably some near upstarts, or PSG and Bayern are probably feeling very vindicated right now. They're going to be out for blood on that soccer pitch. So anyway, and if you're the owners, I mean, honestly, if you were one of the main people behind this plan, I guess it was somebody at Man U is one of them, and somebody at oh gosh, if you whoever that guy was at Real, I mean, you gotta step down. You look like a clown. You gotta bring somebody, or at least be like, I'm hiring this other person to help me manage these decisions because I clearly don't know what I'm doing. Because I mean, you can't come out and do this and then back down. You look crazy. Ugh. Yeah, it must be nice to have so much money you can just be totally incompetent and nobody cares. How do these people even make money if they? Anyway, that's all I got on this. If you won the Champions League to survive, you've won the day. If you wanted to see a Super League, you probably lost. I don't think they're going to try again for a long time. And if you're one of these owners that was really strongly pushing it, if you were on the fence and joined, you might be okay. But if you were pushing this, you look like a fool. You look like a total fool, and you need to resign. That's all. Thanks for coming out today, everybody.
Check out the Know Your Place podcast on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/knowyourplacepodcast, all one word, or on Facebook at facebook.com/knowyourplacepodcast, all one word. And we will be coming soon to YouTube and iTunes, and maybe another social media platform near you. Special thanks to my wife, Sarah, and Jay Graff for the riff.
Bye.